You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Since this show is all about deciding to spend your life with someone, we wanted to ask a pretty basic question. Is marriage worth it? In the money sense, of course. This is pretty much the definition of personal finance. To talk about it, we're joined by Jill Schlesinger. She's a CBS News business analyst and the host of Jill on Money. Welcome back, Jill.
Great to be with you.
Let's take the long view about getting married here for a second. I want you to break it down, do the numbers. When is it worth it to get married, financially speaking?
I was about to say when you're in love. When you're in love. Oh, all right. So let's demystify something. For the vast majority of couples, getting married is financially going to be probably a zero to a zero plus in your financial life.
Really?
Yeah. And by the way, married couples do tend to sort of be in better shape financially overall than non-married ones in terms of singles versus coupledom. Okay. So that is true. Now, part of that is because you have two incomes and you're combining stuff. And if you have two separate residences, that's sort of expensive to maintain. And most people will not incur a marriage penalty. So let's say that you and I get married. I make $50,000 a year. You make $1 million a year. Now, all of a sudden, my $50,000 a year salaries get lumped in with yours, and my tax liability could go up. Then again, you're making $1 million, so I'm feeling pretty good, aren't I?
Right. So there's that.
There's that. So that works for us.
And the reasons financially that you would not get married, is it just the marriage penalty?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. There are people who do not get married because it is very difficult to untangle their financial relationship if things don't work out. So, you know, these are the kind of people who might sign prenuptial agreements, or they may be people who have second marriages, lots of kids. It's sort of hard to put it together and then, God forbid, take it apart, either because of divorce or because of death. And, you know, frankly, there are probably more cases like that than people who say, oh, my tax bill's going up, so I don't want to get married.
Prenups. Do you think they're worth it? It's not a very romantic concept.
You know, Lizzie, I'm in love with you. Could you just sign this document? Okay, we're not. It's hard. It's a buzzkill. It totally is. Now, there are certain instances where it's obvious, where it's so disproportionate that it probably does make some sense. Often in a second marriage, when there's kids involved on both sides, a prenup is very useful because it just kind of outlines what happens upon the death of one of the spouses. If two people who are of unequal means get together and they don't have a prenup, you can probably address a lot of those issues in an estate document, but sometimes it's just cleaner to do it in a prenup. What you can't do in an estate document is deal with divorce. And divorce is a tough one. You know, when I was a financial advisor in New England for many years, one of the reasons that I was really very interested in marriage equality for same-sex couples is that some of my clients who were same-sex couples were breaking up, and there were no rules about disengaging them financially from one another. So part of the divorce decrees that exist, they were really in place to help split people up financially.
Let's talk about same-sex marriage. You are in a same-sex relationship, and yet you guys have never gotten married. Why not?
We're so unromantic. No, that's not the reason. Honestly, it would be a massive marriage penalty for us. So, you know, we talked about that earlier, but, you know, in same-sex couples, there's a sliver of couples who, because of the way that tax laws are created from state to state and federally, that there could be a significant increase in total taxes paid for the couple. And in our instance, those issues almost felt silly. Like, wow, we could really be in a lot better shape financially saving that money in retirement than actually getting married and pay extra taxes every year. It's highly unromantic. But doesn't it make sense for someone like me?
I want to put you on the spot. Say this is really important to you and you want, you know, a special day for your family, your loved ones. How would you arrive at that amount, knowing that people have different circumstances and different things mean something different to you?
Okay. I think that's a fair question because, you know, I can be unromantic and say, oh, this is so silly. It's a waste of money. But still, you want to get married before your friends and your family and you want to have an occasion. And it's a happy thing. And gosh, there's so many sad things in life. Let's do a happy one. So where are we going to start? Let's start with a general budget. How much cash does everybody have on hand? And when I say everyone, I mean everyone. You know, God bless my parents who were on the hook for my failed first marriage, who had to pay for it all, because that's what brides' families did. They paid for the wedding. That does not exist anymore, okay? Everyone's in this. So I think everyone comes together and says, what do we have on hand to pay for this wedding? What cash do we have? What would we be willing to sell in a taxable investment account that wouldn't derail our other financial planning goals? We don't want to take money away from another child's education. We don't want to take money away from our own retirement, but we want to all sort of say, what's a reasonable amount? Now, if you have $100,000 of student loans and $0 in the bank, you are going to rely on the kindness of your relatives to come up with that money. And it is really up to them to be honest with you and say, here's what we can afford. Hey, I've got $1 million in my IRA account. I've got $50,000 that I've always set aside for your wedding. You get 50. I can't do a penny more. I think that when you start getting into more than, say, 5% of your assets on hand, you're into crazy land territory. You should not do that.
Jill Schlesinger is a CBS News business analyst and the host of Jill on Money. Thank you, Jill.
Great to be with you.